I can run out of there. But I just think my government will damn near fall. I just don't believe the people. I don't know. Nearly all the people think that we oughtn't to be a Chamberlain and a Munich and do that. Now, I can run forward like Nixon suggests and Rockefeller suggests and Goldwater suggests and all the rest of them except Eisenhower. He doesn't. But the other, every candidate they had, Romney, every one of them suggests. But I haven't done that. Now, when they come in and kill our boys and they're sending their ships in, and we've had two that we've had to sink, and we think perhaps they've had six more that have come through. I don't know anything we can do except try to take out that shipyard. Unless I just sit there and let it happen, and I don't believe they'd let me stay here if I did that.
Well, I don't think we've ever suggested that you had a simple problem, and I don't...
No, I know it. I know it's not simple, but I don't know what other... I know you don't want me to go to Peiping in Hanoi.
But I... And I would have been a wiser man if I had explored this before writing the column.
Well, I have great respect for you, and I like you, and I want my best to make good. And I know how much you want me to and how hard you tried to see me elected. And I just want you to know that, on my word of honor, there's not one columnist in this town that clears with me before he writes something. And I would say the man that makes the most contact with me of any of them is not Drew Pearson. I read it every morning about things I've done I never heard of. But the man that makes the most contact with me is Walter Lippmann. He's been to my house more. He's been to my office more. I've been to his house. I've been to his home three times since I've been president to talk to him. That's pretty unusual for a president. And I believe, if you saw his broadcast the other day, and his attitudes, that he just wished we didn't have to drop a bomb. God knows I do, too.
Well, I spoke to him the other evening, and I know what his view is, and it's entirely what you're saying. And I guess I didn't write this very well, because I think that what I was trying to say was that this was coming right at in the context of that time piece that was going to be interpreted this way, but I think that I should have cleared it up.
Well, now, Clark Clifford is a man very close to me. President Kennedy appointed him head of the Intelligence Board. He was President Kennedy's lawyer. He handled President Kennedy's personal matters. He handled a trust that he was supposed to have created. It was never written at all. Now, that's Clark Clifford. Clark Clifford supported President Kennedy in Symington. He's never supported me. I like him, think he's a good man, but he's no enemy of mine, yet he's number one on the list. I've seen Acheson twice. Acheson helped me with the Civil Rights Bill of 57. But Acheson is not an enemy, never felt close to me, but he's on the list. Jim Rowe and I didn't speak for two or three years. We were very good friends, and he spent 6 months up at the Capitol working, but... he has had very strong feelings on one or two of these matters, and he and I, since I've been in the White House, he's never been consulted on one thing. Yet he's an enemy. Tommy Corcoran has never been here. He's never been in my office. He's never called me on the phone. He's never written me a letter. Same thing's true of Ben Cohen. Now, this is your Saturday Evening Post Reliable. And then my credibility is questioned if I say that something's premature that does happen a little later. But I don't know. I asked this morning to please identify this man, the Saturday Evening Post, that I never heard of him, never seen him, didn't know him. And they told me that he was a freelancer that was writing stories. But if I were writing about the men close to the president, I would look at his schedule, I'd look at his diary, I'd look at his appointment sheet, and I try to see really who he visits with. And I have tried my damnedest to work with in the machinery of government and not without. I sat with Rusk for 2 hours Sunday afternoon and visited with him and with his wife. I had McNamara and his wife to dinner with me, and we spent 3 or 4 hours trying to explore every new idea we could that would keep this thing from flaming and escalating. I think he's awfully close to me. I think Willard Wirtz And Stu Udall has spent more time in the White House personally, socially, counseling on everything than yet anyone. But this man that doesn't know me, he says that Clark Clifford and Dean Acheson and Ben Cohen. I think I saw Ben at one dinner when the United Nations, when I gave Utah a dinner, and the State Department put him on the list as a former representative up there. I have never had 1 minute with him. Now, what do you think about a fellow that write a story and put this group in like that?
Well,
and that'll be there. That'll be there 100 years from now. Everybody that writes about Johnson, they'll go back and look at the Times of magazine section and the six men that exercised this great influence. Now, President Roosevelt told me one time that the influence that Corcoran and Cohen exercised in this town was nil, and that what had been said about them had been greatly magnified. But he said it became very clear to me very early that whatever influence and help they could be to me had been completely destroyed because of the columns, and they couldn't keep out of the press and the government. They thought they were running the government. You remember that period? So he said...
I also remember when he decided to have anonymous assistants who really remained anonymous.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Jim Rowe and this boy, Laughlin Curry, and some of them were over there, and I think it...
But, I mean, they did stay out of the paper.
They did. And I have my people. Here's the policy I have. They quarrel a good deal about my press relations. And I think they always have and always will, Salinger pointed out, since Washington's day. I have 10 people, and I would say the press takes, on the average, their 10 hours, about 3 a day talking to them. Each one of the 10. The lawyer that has no policy, that just looks at the documents and analyzes them, they go to him. Bill Moyer, who has charge of the legislative, they go to him. And yet they don't feel, they say that all the doors are closed and they don't get any great leaks and so on and so forth. And it is true, and I may be wrong, but George Reedy is taking a position. And when we give to one, we give to all, and we have no White House cult, we have no special William S. Whites. And that really upsets Doug Kiker, because for a day or two he had worked with Bill Moyer and he thought he ought to have it ahead of anybody else, so we just don't do it. And maybe that we're just in great trouble, but
I don't think this is your largest problem.
I don't either. Well, I didn't. I don't want you to ever say I called you. I don't want to call you. I've never called a columnist. I called you for one reason, because I really want you to know my thinking and know it from me, and let me expose myself to you so you can understand it, and I'll answer any call you ever make to me. Nobody wants the United Nations succeed more than I do. I just released $60 million 2 days ago, and even though nothing's settled, I boosted in every speech I've made. I had Utah down here, the first president that had, and gave him a big state dinner with 200 people. But when Utah came out and said the American people had been misled when we'd made them all these speeches, he told Dean Acheson he made a mistake and he was misunderstood and was warped and that he would retract it, which he did. I mean, Dean Rusk. When he said that we had received, Burma was one country who had never received a dollar, and at that time was getting it shoveled into them, and the senators knew it. We thought he would just look like an ass if Bill Fulbright, or who's making a speech on against foreign aid today, got up and said so. So we called him and told him. But I have never criticized a man. You haven't seen one word out of the president's office about Utah.
Well, as I said, you've given me a lesson in journalism and some education.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Bye. Thank you, Tim.